For someone listening to this message, it's the commencement of a journey to destiny. For someone else, it's a confirmation. For yet another, it's a continuation of a journey to destiny. As you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, Pastor Sam Adeyemi, the word will work wonders in you and for you.
Come with me to 2 Corinthians 9. Second Corinthians chapter 9. I read verses 6 to 11. Second Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 11. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. We're sharing tonight and praying on generating financial harvests. Generating financial harvests. One of the greatest discoveries I have made over the years as a Christian is getting to understand that our finances are controlled by the laws of sowing and reaping. Fantastic. You know, I've been saying that the laws of the farm give us wisdom. Awesome wisdom. The average farmer is in touch with reality. And when you read through the whole of Scripture, right from the beginning, like we have said, especially from Genesis 1, verses 28 and 29, God has tied man's destiny to his ability to cultivate seeds. His ability to cultivate seeds, because with that, you can multiply resources. The more you are able to multiply resources, the more you are able to subdue the forces that control this life. And the more dominion or mastery or leadership or influence you have on this planet. Specifically, God wants us financially blessed. And to be able to attain that level of blessing and abundance, we've got to learn to recognize financial seeds when God brings them into our lives and to take the responsibility to cultivate those seeds and to multiply them. Having applied this principle over the years, I have enjoyed continuous increase financially. And I have watched thousands of people as they have, you know, followed along this line and have seen increase also and productivity and supernatural provision in their lives. And I believe it is worth it for us to remind ourselves tonight that there shouldn't be any mystery at all to the issue of financial blessing, because the secrets have been laid out for us in the Word of God. I know that the teaching on giving and on financial prosperity in the church may have been abused, but the truth also is that the truth can never be erased. Right Except you have the original, you can't have the fake. People may have taught these principles with the wrong motives, but the truth still remains. Seed time and harvest shall never cease. Well, let me start from this note tonight. Since God has promised that this year there will be increase, it must show in your finances. And the starting point is that you must make up your mind to be free from the curse of poverty. It begins with a decision. You must break out of the poverty trap that has been set by the enemy in this environment. Okay? Make up your mind to get out of poverty. I did some years ago. I made up my mind because I discovered that decision determines destiny. I discovered that life seems to make way for the man or woman whose mind is made up. I found out that until you have made up your mind to go there, you don't find the way to take you there. So I made up my mind. And that decision was in line with the word of God, because I saw from the word of God that Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. He was made a curse for me on the cross. Galatians 3:13 and verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham may come upon the Gentiles. And I read the Bible and I saw that Abraham was a very prosperous man. So I shook poverty off, shook it off, decided I was going to be financially blessed. There are all sorts of excuses, all sorts of reasons that people give. When we teach in the church, there are all sorts of battles that go on in people's minds, especially in this environment. There's a failure mechanism, a virus introduced by the devil into people's brains that makes them, when they see someone who is financially prosperous, to believe that this thing is not easy. It just happens for a few people. And some people carry that mindset over into the church. And when this is someone who's blessed, someone who's sharing the testimony, there's something that just excuses us away, that just makes us to believe that, well, it's just the grace of God. And we describe this grace as if it's something that happens to people by chance. But Titus chapter 2 verse 11 says that the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Hallelujah. If anybody has ever enjoyed grace before, you two are entitled to enjoy the same grace. The blood that was shed for them was shed for you. Did I hear you say amen? Amen? I am entitled to the grace of God. All right. So, you got to make up your mind. God wants you blessed. The death of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection will not be worth the while. It will be a completely wasted effort if the poverty that he cracked on the cross still becomes part of your personal possession and experience. The surest way, of course, to get out of the poverty trap is God's system. We live in a country that is under the curse of poverty. We live on a continent that is under the curse of poverty. When you are dealing with financial lack, please perish the thought that you are dealing with a personal issue. It's not. And you are not dealing with circumstances. You are not dealing with human beings. You're not just dealing with a person who's refused to give you a job. You're not just dealing with a person who's refused to give you a promotion. You're not just dealing with the landlord who's making life difficult for you. Oh no. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and wicked spirits in heavenly realms. A curse is an invisible supernatural force sent to hinder a person. A blessing is the direct opposite, invisible supernatural force that aids you to enjoy blessing and to succeed. So, the surest way out of this curse is God's system, God's way of doing things. I have just a few tips for us tonight. Number one, you must have a vision of abundance. This is one year where it will be very risky for you not to have any specific deliberate expectation from God with respect to your finances. You must have a vision of abundance. Everything begins with that. It is the vision of a harvest that provokes sowing. It is the vision of a harvest that provokes sowing. If you don't have a vision of a harvest that is supposed to be yours, to be your reality sometime in the future, there's no reason for God's sake for you to sow any seed today. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Why? Instead of sowing their seed, they eat it. They can't see beyond their nostrils. They can't see beyond their today. So once today expires, they expire. No vision, no future. So you must have a vision. You must begin this year seeing yourself in possession of abundance. I have discovered the awesome power in engaging our imagination. You can't have faith without vision. You can't have faith without vision. It is vision that births faith. So faith always has a picture. Faith always has a picture. For example, Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Faith is substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Not evidence of things that don't exist, but evidence of things that the physical eye cannot see. If the physical eye cannot see them, then the spiritual eye can see them. You must have the capacity to see them. And the capacity you have to see them is your imagination. Period. The things that eyes cannot see, your inner eyes can see. It is the engagement of your imagination. So faith can't be complete without the engagement of your imagination. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. Can you see that? We have the capacity to see things that are seen, and we have the capacity to see things that are not seen. And he says here that we don't look at the things that are seen, that they are temporary. We look at the things that are not seen. You must engage your imagination. Genesis 11 and verse 6, Almighty God said in the King James Version, concerning those people building the Tower of Babel, he said, and this they have imagined to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Why? Because there's a connection between imagination and faith. And what you believe is eventually what you become. You must have a vision. You must be seeing some specific amounts of money coming into your possession. And I would rather that you don't cook those things up by yourself, but that you download them by revelation. Because that's the essence of prayer. Jeremiah 33 verse 3, call unto me and I will answer you. He said, and I will show you. You see, without your imagination being engaged, you don't hear from God, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So he said, call unto me and I will answer you and show you what? Great and mighty things which you have not yet known. In other words, I'll show you a new level. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Because like we said before, dreams are seeds, thoughts are seeds. Heaven will plant in your heart seeds of abundance this year like you have never known before in the name of Jesus Christ. You have to see yourself in a new house. You have to see yourself in possession of the certificates of occupancy of certain plots of land in this city. You have to see yourself sitting down as chief executive officer in that office, sitting on a swivel chair with roller on the tips and your fine mahogany chair or table or glass or table with glass top. But you have to see yourself. Abraham sits down in Genesis 15, brooding over his barrenness in the tent. And then the Lord says to him, come out. Come out. That place where you are sitting, you won't see anything. It is too limiting. Come out. Help me to tell your neighbor, come out. To have vision, you need exposure. hold a camera, you cannot have an image imprinted on the film or on the disc like we have today without the shutter being released for a fraction of a second. When you press that shutter, there is something called the aperture. It's an eye, it's a small opening. And there are certain things that close that aperture. When you press the shutter, all of them open. They operate with springs. They open in a fraction of a second, just enough to allow some small quantity of light to come in, but which prints the reflection of the image that you are looking at. There must be exposure. There must be exposure. Amen? You need to come out from your normal environment. You need to go around, do some sightseeing. You need to expand your horizon. Actually, it's not as difficult as you think it is. But God has tied your destiny to your capacity to see. In Genesis 13, 14, and 15, he told Abraham, walk through the length and breadth of this land. And then he said, lift up your eyes. Look northward, southward, eastward, westward. He said, as far as your own eyes can see, so will I give to you and your descendants. Not as far as God's eyes can see. God can see your future, even beyond when you die. He can see your eternity. You are the one that also needs to see it. And he says the one that will impact directly on your manifestation is the one you see for yourself. Help me to tell your neighbor, shine your eyes. There are fine things, colorful things, awesome things, glorious things that God has packaged for you this year. But you must be able to capture them. Some of us, what we're asking for is too small. Like I confessed some time ago, but when I was praying to God for a building facility for our church, and I was asking God, how do we raise $100 million? And he said, don't build for yesterday, build for tomorrow. I said, By the time he explained it, I jacked it up to $500 million, wrote it on a sheet of paper and stuck it on the wall. Don't build for yesterday, build for tomorrow. You must have a vision. It is the size of the vision you are seeing that will determine the size of seeds or quantity of seeds that you need to sow today. Am I right? 1 Kings 17, Elijah the prophet meets the widow of Zarephath. God wants to save that woman's life. She was about to die. It was a time of famine. But Almighty God, who will always bless us in line with his principles, needed for Elijah to take a seed from this woman so the woman could enjoy supernatural supply. So Elijah said, bring water. Then he said, bring me some food. And the woman protested, saying what she had was just enough to make food for herself and her son. And they were to eat it, and after that they would die. And then Elijah the prophet spoke to this woman. He said, woman, go and do as you have said, but first, make that food for me. If I don't make you sow this seed, I can't connect you with your harvest. Then he gave her a picture of the harvest. Woman, what I'm trying to connect you with is big. As long as this famine remains, that storehouse will never lack food. The oil will never run dry in your family. When the woman caught a vision of abundance, she ran and sowed the seed. So one day the Holy Spirit said to me, people don't sow to the size of their pocket. They sow to the size of their vision. And I said, how? The Holy Spirit said, what was the vision the woman saw before Elijah came? I said, it was a vision of death. That was what she said. She said, myself and my son will eat and we will die. For the person who is seeing death because of lack, when you ask the person to bring the little that the person has, it is acceleration of their journey to the grave. That would be their perception of it. You don't tell somebody that is about to die that you should sow seed. Somebody is about to die. You say you should sow seed. He won't be alive to harvest it. No, let him hit this one and then hope that something will happen somewhere. And Elijah says, woman, you're about to make a big mistake. This thing you are holding is not big enough to be your harvest. If it is not big enough to be your harvest, why don't you turn it into a seed and have a new beginning? I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will not miss out of anything that heaven has provided for you this year. In the name of Jesus Christ. 2 Chronicles 20:20 says, believe the Lord your God, you will be established. Believe also his prophets and you will. You know why? Prophets help you to get vision. That's what Elijah helped that woman to do. Prophets have the capacity to capture realities from the spirit realm, future realities from the spirit realm, and to make them available. Once you have vision, you will have provision. Hang around the prophetic word. Whereunto, it says, we have the prophetic word made doubly sure. Whereunto you do well, that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in the dark place, till the day dawns and the day star arises in your heart. 2 Peter 1:18 and 19. Help me to tell your neighbor, hang around the word this year. And then this other tip is important. You must sow powerful word seeds this year. You must sow powerful word seeds this year. In the construction and production of material blessings, you must understand that words play a very, very crucial role. Since John 1:14 says that the word became flesh, you must understand that words have the capacity to produce their material equivalent. If you don't have money, but you have words, you are not poor. Because Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. This material world was framed by the word of God. There was a time when there was absolutely nothing in existence. And all we have in Genesis 1 is, and God said, and God said, and God said. I have said it before that I tried to resolve the issue of capital from the word. And I went back to Genesis chapter 1 to see how much capital God had before he started his business. That's the excuse most people around here give for not doing what they are supposed to do. I don't have capital. So I went to Genesis chapter 1 and I was looking for how much capital God had. And I saw in Genesis 1, money was not mentioned at all. And I said to myself, if not having money is what makes a person poor, then in Genesis chapter 1, God was broke. No money, nothing. Yet he created everything. That means there are things that have value other than money. If you read Proverbs 8, and wisdom speaks to you there and says, I am of more value than gold and riches. It is when you get me that you will get the gold and the riches. Then you will know invisible things, spiritual things have more value than material things. Because the spiritual world in the first place created the material world. That's why words are important. Words are important. What did God have in Genesis 1? And God said. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. If you have revelation, you have God's word, you are rich. You are as rich as God says you are. Because whatever God says exists from the moment God says it. This 1 year, it will be a big mistake for you to confess poverty. Big mistake. One of the major places where the change began in my life, having grown up in a poor environment like this, was in my words. I learned how to take control of my future with my words. I banished poverty completely from my confession. And I began to tell people I can never be poor again for the rest of my life. Now, that's a tall statement. Especially because when I began to say it, I was a jobless graduate. Well, it's more convenient to say, I cannot be poor again when you have material blessings. Can you say it when you don't have anything? Because that's what faith is about. That is what faith is about. Calling those things which be not as though they were. It is not a confession based on chances. It is a confession based on unchanging spiritual reality. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty may become... On the cross, Jesus took your place in poverty so you could take his place in riches. A work of substitution took place. Today, you are free. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. You are not a poor person struggling to become rich. It is not scriptural. Anywhere you hear a sermon that encourages you to struggle because you are poor and you have to now struggle to become rich, it's not a New Testament sermon. According to the New Testament, something happened on the cross. Jesus did the fighting on your behalf. And Colossians 2:14 says, having spoiled or disarmed principalities and powers, he made an open show of them, triumphing over them on the cross. And now 1 John 5:4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. But there's one catch to it. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So you must believe it. Jesus took care of your poverty, took care of my poverty on the cross. I am not a product of this environment, I'm a product of the cross. So, God sees me through the cross. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, all things have become new. You must believe it. And when you believe it with your heart, you must confess it with your mouth. I am not poor. I am not broke. Life is not difficult. Things are not hard. They are easy. The more you say they are hard, the harder they become. My brother, how now? Now so-so. I have left the realm of so-so. I have entered the realm of certainty. All things are working together for good for me. Hallelujah. Because I'm walking in line with destiny. Check your confession at home. Check it. The fact that it is husband and wife sharing together in the secret of the bedroom is no justification for negative confession. If you will banish poverty from your home, you must banish poverty producing words from that home. Hey, how now? We're just managing. You know how country is now? Country has been like that for a long time, but individual experiences have been different. In fact, the worse it has become for country, the better it has been for some people. Because really, what determines your destiny as a believer is not the situation in the country, it is your relationship with the Word of God. Did I hear you say amen? So powerful word seeds. And people have heard me so much. Some journalists interviewed me some time ago and they were asking, people say you are so rich. They say you were even contemplating buying an aircraft recently. Is it true? The first thing I said was, yes. Because there's no way I will use an interview with a newspaper journalist as an opportunity to make a negative confession. You understand?
So the first word that came from my mouth was, yes.
I said, but let me explain to you how it works. I said, when I had nothing, that is how I spoke. And that was what eventually got me to where I am now. I have to see it first in my imagination. I have to speak it out. Then it happens. So I said, that's how I got to where I am. And that's how I'm going to get to where I am going. The person said, okay, now I understand. You're riding in the bus and people are describing the situation in the country. Ah, things are so hard, things are so difficult. The president versus the vice president, this one versus that, PDP, AP, AD, AC, and all of that. You are nodding your head. It's hard, it's difficult. No food, no water, no show. You are shaking your head. You just left the church. You're shaking your head. It's an agreement with everything that is being said. And you are bound. Evil will bow before good. You should not let your good be overcome by evil. You should not sit down there. And people who are carrying darkness around will now submerge your light. I have learned over time to quickly reject a statement that does not agree with my destiny. By the time they do the list of all those who agreed with that statement, my name should not be there. Because there are angels watching over every word to make it happen. That's why Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 8:5, be careful what you say with your mouth. So it's better for you not to talk than for you to talk. He said, you cannot say in the presence of the angel that it was an error. It's difficult to withdraw those words, sir. The spirit world is moved by words. Psalm 103 verse 20 says that angels hearken unto the voice of his word. Jesus cast out spirits by his word. He gave instructions that produced abundance by his words. I got a letter 2 weeks ago or so, or 3 weeks ago, from my former boss. When I was working on the construction site, my director was an allergy. When I tendered my letter of resignation that I was leaving to go into full-time ministry, he was shocked. He counseled me as an elderly person. He said, I don't understand why a young man with a promising future like yours in engineering should leave this promising career to go into religion. I still remember they had this small send-off program for me, and another large relation of his, who was also working on the site, spoke up. I said, well, Mr. Adeyemi, we wish you the best, but I must tell you that I still don't understand why a young man with a promising career like this should leave to go into religion. And I remember also what I said that day. I said, don't worry about me at all. I have discovered an area of life where I function like a computer. I think it's best for me to invest my life there. I said, but not too long from now, you will hear about me. It was January 1991. 3 weeks ago, I got a letter. I got a letter from my former director. He is now a traditional ruler in his hometown, one of the prominent hometowns in Kogi State, or one of the prominent towns or cities in Kogi State. He's now the traditional ruler there. He introduced himself. Okay, and said a little bit of the story to help me remember. Then he attached a photocopy of the picture that was taken at my send-off. Then he reminded me of the advice that he gave. And he also wrote there what I said. And said, now I hear of what the Lord is doing. He said, I hear of the marvelous things you are doing in the Lord's vineyard. And I must say that I fully identify now
with that your vision? It's still an allergy, sir.
If you are shy to speak, won't you be shy when you are broke later? If in the bid to impress people, you won't speak. You know what Jesus said? He said, anyone who denies me before men, he said, I will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Anyone who is proud of me before men, I'll be proud of him before my Father who is in heaven. You have to speak out. I know somebody's listening to me right now, and you have crossed the line. In fact, not you will, you have, tonight, you have crossed the line. You have crossed that line. You have gone. As far as this financial issue is concerned, this year is your year of supernatural increase. Well, the final part of my little advice is you must multiply your money. You know, the key factor this week is in that capacity to produce. Almighty God said to Adam, and he still says to you, be fruitful. And then he says, multiply. And God blessed them and said, if you are blessed, if they put 10 naira in your hand, over time, it should become 10 million. That is proof that a person is blessed. It is not how much you start with that matters, it is how much you end up with that really, really determines whether you are blessed or not. Because there are some people, if you give them 10 million naira, very soon it will become minus 20 million. They will eventually owe money on top of it. So you must develop that capacity to multiply your money. Jesus said the kingdom of God functions like the mustard seed. It's the smallest of all seeds. But when it is cultivated, it becomes the biggest of the trees in the forest. That's what we are talking about. If you are really, really blessed, excuse me, no opportunity is too small. No amount of money is too small to start with. If you are looking for an opportunity that is bigger, greater than Joseph had, you are asking for too much. Because there are people who are doing nothing now, giving the excuse. They are looking for an opportunity. What should Joseph have said? The only opportunity he found was that of being a slave. No monthly salary. Slaves, sir, owned property of Major General Potiphar. Yes, because of the power of blessing on his life. There was a way he did that job. Potiphar thought, excuse me. Ask all the other people around here that I employed to become assistant to this young man. I like the way he does his job. Because the Bible says that the Lord made him prosper. This year, there will be a difference around your life. Yeah. Whatever it is you touch this year, God will touch it on your behalf. Yeah. Isaac sowed that same year, same land. He reaped a hundredfold. The Bible says that the Philistines envied him. This year, you will be an object of envy. Multiply your money. The parable of talents in Matthew 25 from verse 14. They gave one person 5 talents. They gave this other one 2 talents. They gave one talent. The one with 5 talents turned it into 10 talents. That will be your testimony this year. Every form of resource, financial and material resource, that you are starting this year with, in the name of my God, as you go through this year, it will multiply in your hands. In the name of Jesus Christ. So, practically speaking, the same way the seed principle works, they've discovered what they call compound interest. Tap into the power of compound interest. Look into the financial world. Don't eat all your seed. The little money that you call little, the little you have and call yourself poor,
It's not as little as you think. When you hold a seed, truth is, if you have the ability to cultivate that seed, it's a plantation you are holding in your hand. Some people some years ago had as little as that. They are wealthy today. It is what you do with that one in your hand that will matter. And God who gives seed to the sower will ensure that you don't go seedless this year in the name of Jesus Christ. Take advantage of the investment instruments around town today. Nobody taught me when I was learning ministry that a church could make some money from a bank until I had just a short sermon, Proverbs 21:20, one day at a minister's seminar. There is much treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but the foolish man spends everything. That day I learned a big lesson. Of course, when a person eats everything that he has, eats all his harvest to the point where he consumes what he should use as seed to produce the next harvest, is a big fool. So that day, that man of God said, if you spend everything you are earning, you are a fool. The unfortunate thing was, as at that day, I had nothing in savings. This faith in the fact that it is not enough, faith in the fact that we are poor, makes us to spend everything, believing that someday, when it is more than enough, we will be able to put some aside. It is poverty thinking, sir. And it is foolishness of the highest order. He said, the foolish man spends everything. Then I got back to the office. I asked for two forms, account opening forms from the bank, a savings account for our family, a savings account for the church, and began discipline, ensuring that on a consistent basis we were saving. And one, you know, one particular year we looked at the report, annual report for our church, and realized that from money that we have placed, of course, the money began to grow in savings to the extent that we realized, no, it won't make sense for us not to put this money in fixed deposit. So we began to put the money in fixed deposit and we began to get interest. And we suddenly realized that over the space of 1 year, we had received interest from money fixed with the bank to the tune of 13.1 million naira. Just interest on money that we put in the bank. Just interest. Take advantage. And you know what Jesus said in the parable of the talent? He said, take the talent from that guy that has one. Take it from him. Take it from him. Give it to the man that has 10. Say, for to him that has, even more will be given. From him that has not, even what he has will be taken away. One thing that I know about money is that it flows. Money is never stagnant. It flows. That's why you describe the denomination spent in each country as its currency. Currency is from the word current. A current describes something that flows. Money flows, sir. And Jesus there in Matthew 25:29 helps us to see how it flows. It flows from people who cannot multiply it to those who can multiply it well. This year, money will flow. Amen. And I pray that by the grace of God, it will not flow away from your life. Rather, it will flow into your life in abundance in the name of Jesus Christ. So invest in fixed deposit, invest in businesses, invest in business. Invest in products, in services. Okay? Because that's what they said in the parable of the talent. They said that the man with 5 talents traded with it. Invest in shares of companies. And invest in real estate. Invest in land. Invest in houses. Awesome investments. One of our pastors was telling me how bought a plot of land some years ago, 120,000 naira. And then last year he sold off the land, 600,000 naira. That's just how it works. That's just how it works. Invest in land. There was a day, was it last year or year before last, that I landed in the office because I've always taught our staff to make investment. And then I asked, how many people here have invested in shares? How many people have invested in land, on in houses, on buildings? Okay, everyone that can produce share certificate or proof of investment in shares between now and the end of work tomorrow, 25,000 naira, free. People ran that day, I'm telling you. Then I say, anyone that can produce proof of ownership of land or landed property, another 25,000 on top. Because I don't like to work with fools. Finally, another major dimension to the sowing of financial and material seeds for a harvest is giving money, giving material things. In the passage that we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, this was what Apostle Paul was talking about. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And he was talking about finances. He was talking about material blessings. What you have today is a seed. That salary that you collect, it's a big mistake if you plan all your life on that salary. Big mistake, sir. God gives seed to the sower before he gives bread to the eater. That salary is a seed. It's your bag of seeds. So, we've got to learn to sow. Just always keep in mind with respect to your finances. There's a way you can run your life and run your finances, and it will be absolutely guaranteed that every single year you will continue to increase. There are people I have watched like that here in this church over 10 straight years, 11 straight years, and they have continuously increased. And there's a reason why. Just basic, simple principles of sowing and reaping. Please keep those principles in mind. Don't get trapped on your current financial level. John 12:24. Except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it remains the way it is. But if it dies, it does what? Brings forth much fruit. Don't spend all your money. Give some. Don't spend all your money. Give some. The Bible has stated how we should go about it. He said, give tithe. 10%. Hey, how many people have testimonies from giving? You've been given tithe for some time. You have testimony that God has been faithful to you. Can you wave your hand? It's majority of people in the house. If you are just joining or you have not attempted it before, let this year be different for you. I began to pay tithes as a student over 20 years ago. My allowance was 10 naira per week. 5 days of the week, 2 naira per day. Yet out of 10 naira, I paid 1 naira as tithe. Amen. I didn't eat my seed. For some people, the money is too small. In fact, the argument of some people is even God knows that the money is not enough. I should let you know, he also knows it will never be enough. If you don't take out of it as small as it is and sow it as a seed. Give your tithes. Last year, the Holy Spirit gave us an instruction with respect to our building project. Give a second tithe. Some people have not paid the first one. You're asking for second. But I thank God for everyone who had enough faith and trust in God to do it. Because you didn't do it for a man, you did it for God. Now, by the grace of God, I'm announcing in church tomorrow, it has expired. It was a season. Sowing is in seasons. sewing machines, it has expired. We'll be raising funds for building projects this year, but that instruction has expired. A young lady just happened to be in church 31st of December, lives in the UK, used to be in Daystar before, had that instruction and was sending that second tithe in pound sterling all the way from the UK. By May, there was an explosion in her income. In December, she called. Young lady in her early 20s, I just bought my first house. I just got the keys now. And she said, I'm going to write my full testimony so that you can read it to people in Daystar. It's that second tithe. 31st December, a brother shared his own testimony here. He came in May. He had second tithe. He said the following Sunday, he struggled to pay it and began to pay it consistently from then. He said September that his income quadrupled times four. Neat. He said it was second tithe. Amen. Mm-hmm. Your amen is low. If you didn't do second tithe last year, whatever it is God asks us to do this year, do it. Help me to tell your neighbor, whatever he tells you to do, do it. The kind of money you give will determine the kind of harvest you get. Am I right? That's the law. You sow maize, you reap maize. So sometimes there are some of us who deliberately, right here in this country, sow foreign currency. When I began to get dollars, pound sterling, when I began to get just $1, wisdom told me that $1 was not enough to spend. Will you take that to Malam to change? It's 130 naira. Spiritual sense told me, turn this thing into a seed. I remember the day in London, I was in the same the same hotel, five-star hotel, with my pastor. We were speaking at the same program. We had flown to London on the same flight. In fact, on that flight, the Holy Spirit had asked me a question, where were you when you met this man? Because then I saw how grace had flowed on into my life and blessed me. And at the hotel, we were preparing to go for the service. I was in my own room. I put on my suit, and I just checked in the pocket of the suit, and I felt an envelope there. It had been there for a long time. I had forgotten, and I didn't miss what was there. When I pulled it out, I counted $1,000 in that envelope. I said, I said, I missed or misplaced $1,000 and didn't even know that $1,000 was missing. I said, level don't change, yo. So I did a little jig all by myself. I did some praise and worship all by myself in the hotel room. I said, Father, I said, it has gone beyond doubt now that things have changed. Me, that before, I'll be looking for 5 naira. I will look through all the pockets of my clothes. I will search inside my Bible. I will look through my notebooks for money that was not missing. But wisdom reminded me of how I got there, sir. That when I met my pastor, the Holy Spirit said to me, you don't need his money. You don't need his material things. What you need is the grace on his life, and I will teach you how to get it. He said, first of all, grace and peace are multiplied through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, my anointing is on my words. He said, if you can know what he knows, you will carry the grace that he carries. So I made a commitment to pack his tapes on a consistent basis and listen to them over and over and over in my car, in the bedroom, over and over and over. Some days I will listen to 5 tapes. There are some of his tapes I am sure I listened to not less than 50 times. Singular tape. There's a particular one I'm sure it couldn't have been less than 100 because he played for months continuously in my car. Okay, so get his knowledge. Then the Holy Spirit said to me the second thing. He said, sow into his life. Sow into his life. Operate the law of exchange. Genesis 14:14. Abraham gave the tithes to Melchizedek. The Bible says Melchizedek blessed him. He said it's the law of exchange. So that's how I got to where I am. So you know what I did with the $1,000? I sowed it again into his life. I said, that's how I got to where I am now. Because he was the one who told me one day, why do you want to go to America? You don't have to go. He said, prosperity is not from abroad, it is from above. He said, is it because of dollars you want to go to America? He said, you don't have to go there to get it. He said, I get it here.
Ah. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? Me too. Now I get it here. And you, as you are listening to me tonight, you will get it here. Stand to your feet with me. Hallelujah. My time is up. It's not as hard as it seems. It's not as mysterious as it seems. This is 1 year you should not fail on any divine instruction for giving. Tithe, offering, special project. Give to a man of God. If God blesses our church, like I said, if somebody comes today, start sees how much money we spend, don't make noise about our harvest until you know about our seed. Some time ago, the Holy Spirit laid on our heart to sow to a ministry couple a whole car, brand new car, Jeep, brand new. So if you have not done that, you can still say, Lord, the way you bless this star, bless me. Holy Spirit will say, go and ask this star what they did. Some years ago, at Winning Ways Conference, Dr. Mike Modoc asked, I want to ask here tonight some people to give ₦1,000,000. At that time, we were just coming into that realm. And the Holy Spirit said to me, and I consulted Pastor Nike with confirmation, give it. Marched forward. We marched forward and wrote one singular check, ₦1,000,000. Listen, my focus is not on my harvest, it's on the quantity of my seed. I was looking through my check stubs yesterday. I've not had time to calculate everything, but I was looking through, and of course, I counted a few millions of the seeds I sowed into the kingdom of God last year. And I said, I'm going to come back to this. Amen. Amen. So if we check your financial records now, what you did with your money last year, what took most of your money away? Some people look around, say, at least there are rich people in this church. They can pay for the AC. So if you are not one of the rich people, which people are you? Who are you? If during sowing season, they call for rich people, you don't step out. You have no business stepping out during harvest season. It is during the sowing season that we know who is rich and who is not rich, sir. Did I hear you say amen? Because some people are temporary millionaires. They have today, they won't have tomorrow because they have refused to sow out of what they have today. Did I hear you say amen? Amen. Your harvest will come. Amen. I said your harvest will come. Amen. I said your harvest will come. Amen. I said your harvest will come. In the name of Jesus Christ, lift your voice to the Lord. You see, when it comes to supernatural financial supply, it's just one thing you need, an instruction from God. Throw your nets on the right side. That's where the fish is. Go and catch a fish. There's gold in his mouth. That's where the provision is. One instruction. This year, you will hear it. I said, this year, you will get it. You will lift your voice to God. That one instruction, that word of victory, that word of triumph, that word of breakthrough, that miracle word, release it to me now. That instruction that will guarantee my financial harvest. You know, someone was telling me just as I was coming into the service, one of the protocol officers, he said, a miracle happened last night. One of the pastors gave, and his wife, gave one of their cars to my wife last night after the service. I said, amen. You can share in other people's testimonies, but you need, can God lead you to give your pair of shoes? We have to get ready this year for some dangerous things. Did you hear me? Because when you do dangerous sowing, you will do dangerous reaping. This is 1 year, some people will come to church with a pair of shoes, they won't go back home with it. Because they have enough sense to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit and to sense that something is about to happen when God gives such a strange instruction. Lord, one word is enough to change my life. One word. Listen,
I heard a powerful man of God, one of the senior men of God, many years ago, share his story. How the Holy Spirit told him one day, go and clear your account. He was a lawyer at that time, clear your account. He said it was 3,000 that was there. The Holy Spirit said, go and give it to the church. He said he took it, got to the church office, gave the church secretary. Church secretary said, God bless you, sir. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. He said, hey, I am not a cheerful giver. This is everything in my account. For today, this man is not a cheerful giver. Ah, it's not easy. And then he left. A few weeks later, he woke up in the morning and the Holy Spirit told him, move straight to this particular hotel on Victoria Island and stand in front of the hotel. I had the testimony live, sir. He stood there and then he saw some people rough handling a foreigner. Then the Holy Spirit said, go and help him. So he marched there and said, excuse me, this man is my client. What's the problem? They said, no, it was our boss that said we should push him. I said, I want to see your boss. They had brought the man in all the way from the UK to defraud him. He warned them, harassed them. They released the man to him. He told the man to go on home. Then the man gave him his business card, collected his own. When the man left, the Holy Spirit said to him, that's all, you can go. He said, oh, so this is all I came to do here today. Some few weeks later, the letter arrived from the United Kingdom, thanking him for being of assistance to their CEO while he was in Nigeria. They made two proposals. First of all, they asked that he should come over to London for a discussion because they had decided to retain him as their solicitor and advocate in Nigeria. And they said, and part of the package was first class return ticket, Lagos, London, Lagos. 3,000 naira, sir. Given under the instruction of the Holy Spirit. The man of God said, since he said that first class was so sweet. He said when he got there to London, then they did their discussions. And then by the time they calculated all the things that were due to him, he came back home with a check for $260,000. He said, from that time until now, I have flown first class. An instruction to give 3,000, sir. So when you say this, your prayer, know what you are asking for. Lord, that one word that will guarantee my financial harvest this year. Lift your voice and let us ask. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock, the door will be opened to you. One word from God can change your life forever. One word from God can change your life forever. One word from God can change your life forever. One word from God. I will not miss my way. As long as the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. This year, I will not grope about in the dark. This year, it won't be maybe or maybe not. It won't be lottery. It won't be gambling. It won't be chances. One word from God can change your life forever. One word from God can change your life forever. One word from God can change your life forever. Lord, give me my seed. The Bible says you are the one that gives seed to the sower. You will give me my own word. You gave Peter his own. He toiled all night. He got nothing. One word from you. The fish were so many. His boat began to sink. Hey, I step into the realm of superabundance this year, oh God. I step into the realm of superabundance this year, oh God. And my connection is one word, a revelation, a marching order, a command from heaven. The key to miracles remains the same. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And I say, oh God, whether it is good or evil, easy or difficult, whatever it is that you say, whether it makes sense or not, this is one year I will do it. This is one year I will risk looking foolish before men because the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. One year, oh God, that will make the difference in my destiny. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, Jesus, Son of the Living God, I have spoken your word tonight. Honor your word. I present everyone under the sound of my voice as candidates for freedom from every form of poverty and lack in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, the blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel speaks on the behalf of everyone under the sound of my voice. No occultic power shall be strong enough to stop you from harvesting your financial blessings this year in the name of Jesus Christ. I declare tonight by the Spirit of the living God, angels will help you this year. Good will come to you this year. This year there shall be multiplication in your life. There shall be promotion in your life. There shall be enlargement in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. This 1 year you will receive blessings that money cannot buy. Hey, the package of God is a health and wealth package. This 1 year, enjoy sound health. He brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among all their tribes. I prophesy, this 1 year, you will not lack silver. This 1 year, you will not lack gold. And this 1 year, you will not lack sound health. In the name of Jesus Christ. I prophesy, since the blessing of the Lord makes rich and hath no sorrow, everything organized by the enemy to cause sorrow in your life this year is buried in the name of Jesus Christ. This year, no sadness. This year, no frustration. This year, no depression around your life. I prophesy on you the spirit of joy, the spirit of celebration. In the name of Jesus, you will not lack revelation. As long as the Lord is your shepherd, you will not lack. So I prophesy this 1 year, you will not lack direction. You will know what to do. There shall not be confusion in your life. And I prophesy this year, receive the power of vision. Where others see lack, you will see abundance. Where they see problems, you will see opportunities. In this city, if there are 10 million people for you this year, there are 10 million opportunities for financial blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. This year, God will dig around you wells of abundance. He will open your eyes like he opened Agar's eyes. Even in the desert, you will discover your own well. In the mighty name of Jesus, this 1 year, you will hit a gusher. Hey, blessings that are under pressure. Blessings that are under pressure. Somewhere along the line in the course of this year, there will be supernatural momentum released upon your life in the mighty name of Jesus. Things will change within a short period of time in the name of Jesus Christ. And I prophesy this year, because you are a messenger of God, as God provides, you will feed the hungry. As God provides, you will clothe the naked. As God provides, you will house the homeless. As God provides, you will pay school fees for those who cannot afford. In the name of Jesus. Not only will you be rescued from poverty this year, God will use you to rescue people from poverty. In the name of Jesus Christ. I prophesy light has dawned upon your family. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And then, according to the word of God, this 1 year, whoever blesses you is blessed. Ah. Anyone who reaches out to do you good, the heavens will open over their lives. In fact, I prophesy, anyone who intends to do you good, heaven will do them good so they can do you good. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And I prophesy, whoever intends to do you harm, to cause you losses, I prophesy, heaven will pay special attention to them and disappoint and frustrate their plans in the name of Jesus Christ. This year looks so good. It's not a good year to die. You will not die. You will live. Heaven has delivered you from every scheme, every plan, every machination of evil. The rod of the wicked will not rest upon your portion. In the mighty name of Jesus, righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a source of reproach. As you choose to do it God's way, free from every form of corruption, as Daniel was 10 times better than his contemporaries, having chosen to do it God's way, I prophesy, all those who cut corners will not catch up with you this year. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, whoever, because of corruption, stands on your way this year, my God will supernaturally remove them. In the name of Jesus. It does not matter what the person's position is, the power of God will be proven on your behalf this year. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I prophesy every promotion that has been delayed is now released on your behalf. This shall be for you a season of good news. In the next 30 days, there shall be a sign in your finances to show that the rest of this year will be exciting. Give Jesus a big, big hand clap if you believe. I believe. I believe. We give you praise. I believe. I believe. I believe. We thank you, Jesus. Please be seated. We thank you, Lord.
We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed. For additional tapes, CDs, and books, please contact us through the address on this CD. God bless you.